This podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. The 3-pack is back. The 3-pack is a great value, and the top 3 uses for the air purifier are to eliminate odors, allergens, and air pollutants. Get the 3-pack today at EdenPureDeals.com and put in code word Howie3.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
The Millennial with the Mic is the most listened to midday show in Boston. You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail. Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Get ready, pal.
It's Boston's number one midday show, The Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace. Grace, stand up.
Hello, everyone. Let's keep it going in this hour. We've had some great callers already. The number is 844-500-4242, and the lines are open. I always love to talk to people on a day like today because it's crazy to see this number. 9.1% is the CPI and food inflation. Right now on Fox, it says 8.2% up for meat. Eggs are up 33%. Milk is up 16.4%. As Stephen Miller pointed out today, though, what does this do to the price of breakfast tacos? Because that's what's on my mind. But that's just because I care. You know, Jared knows my heart. And I care a lot. And I want to make sure that if you want to get a unique breakfast taco, that you are able to do so.
I will not lie. Breakfast taco is one of the best things going. Breakfast burritos, breakfast tacos,
well, which,
two of the greatest
items. Which do you prefer?
Oh, gun to my head, I'd say burrito, but tacos, but only if it's on the corn tortilla.
I love like when people use that expression when talking about food, because then I just envision that. Someone with a gun to your head saying,
eat the taco, Jack.
Yeah. Pick which one you want to choose right now, buddy. Yeah, I don't know. I was telling Howie yesterday that I find both of those items... This is just because I'm not fun, but I find both of those items to be a bit stressful. I've gotten to the point now where I do go for a bowl at Chipotle because it's less messy and it doesn't get my blood pressure up. You know, when things are dropping out of food, you know what else stresses me out? I didn't plan on talking about this, but this is therapy for conservatives, the Grace Curley Show.
They do make plates to catch the food.
They do make plates, but... Plates are for the week. No, another thing that sometimes I don't like is when you have a cake and it's stacked really high and you know it's going to tip over, you know, a slice. I prefer to eat the slice tipped on the side. When people dig into it and then it falls apart, I don't like that. I do not like that. I prefer everything to be horizontal. 844-500-4242. But because we're talking about the tacos, I would like to replay this cut of Joe Biden. We're not going to harp on it, but I'm just trying to give you a taste of what kind of week the Bidens are having. And it's only Wednesday. I want everyone to remember that.
I can taste it.
I'm sure you're working for the weekend, as am I. But we're only halfway there. And thus far, we have messages from Hunter calling Jill the C word, saying that she couldn't pass an Ivy graduate program if she tried, that he's smarter than her when he's drunk, which based off the videos that we have of Hunter, that would be most of the time. We have Joe talking about the Holocaust in a way that I don't think was written for him. I think he went off grid there on the teleprompter. We have inflation at 9.1%. And I just want to do a small recap. This is like previously on the destruction of the country. Can we have Jill Biden talking about tacos? I mean, Hispanic voters.
With the understanding that the diversity of this community, as distinct as the Bogotas of the Bronx, as beautiful as the blossoms of Miami, and as unique as the breakfast tacos here in San Antonio.
Yeah, and even Whoopi Goldberg was on The View saying, not great. And when you've lost Whoopi, when you've lost Whoopi Goldberg, who will defend this administration at every turn, then you know things are rough. No word yet on if Joy is defending Jill on this. I'm sure she is, but
I just see Lee Trevino in the corner shaking his head like in Happy Gilmore every time Happy did something.
Yeah.
Just, no.
Who wrote this? Who approved this? I just picture Veep when she used to go back after, you know, a terrible press conference and she would look at her staffers and say, I have never seen this much incompetence. She would call everyone nincompoops. She was always like stressing out. That has to be Jill when she gets back there. But I mean, she's a doctor. She's Nana. She's Dr. B. She doesn't proofread this stuff. She doesn't even give it a glance. I go to events occasionally and I give everything a little. I give everything a little look-see. I give everything a little look-see before I come on the air. I try to. If you're talking, and it's not like you're at, trust me, there's plenty of events that they go to where they're talking to people who are already in their camp. You know, they talk to people who have already given them millions of dollars. You know, private events where maybe someone gets a video, but mostly it's, you know, under the radar. This was an event about Latino or Latinx inclusion with an X. And she has to win over voters. They're hemorrhaging Hispanic voters, and that's what she comes out with. My point being in all of this is that it's been quite the week. They've packed a lot in. And things are rough. And when things look bad for this administration, they tend to pivot to an old standby. Jared, I'm going to give you a guess as to what that might be.
COVID?
Exactly. And let me be... In the words of Obama, we're going to talk about Obama today too, by the way. But in the words of Obama, let me be perfectly clear. I am not trying to downplay the damage of COVID. I'm not trying to say that people didn't die from COVID, that it's terrible. People with comorbidities, older people have to be careful. And I acknowledge all that. But the timing of the way that they forget about it and then go back to it is very curious. And so now, after three jam-packed days, or really two and a half jam-packed days of it's a gaffapalooza. This is like the 25 days of Christmas. It's the two and a half days of just sheer gaffes. They bring out Becerra, who we never hear from. The only time I've seen Becerra is when he was standing behind Joe when they were talking about the 10-year-old abortion story, which, by the way, has become increasingly more skeptical as time goes on. So Becerra had this to say, cut 27.
What I will tell you is that come the fall and winter, most everyone who's an expert on pandemics and these viruses will tell you that strong chance that we'll see a resurgence of the virus, whether it's the variants that we have now or new variants, and we got to be ready.
You don't say come the fall and winter. Is anything going on this fall? Slash winter? Is anything, Jared? Is anything happening in November? I know it's my yeah. 1 year wedding anniversary.
Happy anniversary.
Thank you. Really? Not to, yes, but it's not about me. I feel like there's something else in that month that's important.
Oh, geez, nothing's coming to mind.
So that's all we have on the calendar. Celebrate Grace.
Yeah. They just want to downplay your anniversary.
Something's happening in the fall. I just can't put my finger on it. I just can't put my finger on it. But I guess it's just going to be the resurgence of COVID. I guess there's not going to be anything else around that time that makes this a wee bit suspicious. It's these people
just
are
unrelated events.
These people are painfully transparent in a way, you know, in a way they're not transparent and in a way they're very transparent. Like they
it
can't
is painful to watch.
They can't give you the logs of a Biden's beach house because who knows who's showing up there. Who knows what friends of Hunter come in to hang out for the weekend or take Joe on bike rides. But in a lot of ways, they're being very, very open.
Where are you, Delaware?
About how not on the level all of this is. And just to make matters even more absurd, Karine Jean-Pierre was talking to reporters and they're asking her about these COVID protocols. And this is Karine Jean-Pierre, Air Force One with a gaggle. And you have to hear what she has to say about this. This is cut 14.
Is there a new policy around shaking hands or not?
What we're saying is we are taking precautions.
Is one of those precautions not shaking
what
hands?
What I'm saying is we're trying to minimize contact as much as possible where we can. And so that is what the focus is going to be on this trip. And yeah.
The president was in very lengthy handshaking selfie sessions the last 2 days at the White House. So is this a brand new policy as of today that you guys are trying to reduce contact?
With a brand new policy, what we're saying is we tend to take extra precautions.
Now, hold on. Good on this reporter for pressing KJP on this, but I have an issue. She says he's in, you know, handshakes and selfie lines of all these people. I have to do a fact check on that. There's a photo of him in the New York Post. I don't know why it's not a bigger deal. I know the video of him sniffing a young girl is going around now. I think that was over the weekend because he looked like he was in his biking attire, his casual biking attire. Does not have knee pads or elbow pads yet, which I have an issue with, but that's neither here nor there. But there's another clip of him when he was having his Saturday Night Fever picnic yesterday and he was dressed up like John Travolta, where he's stroking a woman's face. Have you seen this picture, Jared? It's insane.
I have not. I've seen plenty, but I have not seen that picture.
If anyone wants to see it, it's I tweeted it out. Go to @G_Curly. And this is the caption from the New York Post. President Biden, as if this isn't bizarre, okay? As if this isn't the weirdest thing ever. President Biden strokes the cheek of Maeve Healey, chief of staff to Representative Meng, while greeting guests. He's stroking her cheek. And we're supposed to believe that they're taking all these COVID protocols. And the reporter says, well, you know, he's taking selfies and shaking hands. Shaking hands would be an improvement. He's stroking people's cheeks and sniffing the ears and the hair of young girls on a bike trail. I don't like anyone in my bubble. That's number one. But I really don't like, and this is because I always have makeup on, it's bad for your skin, I don't want anyone near my face. If that man put his grimy hands that he's using to pick out the food in his teeth and all that other stuff, if he put that hand near my face, whew, be hell to pay. It would not be good. Jack?
You know, it's sticky and covered in ice cream, too.
Well, I remember one time I went to this dance with this guy. And I spent all day on my makeup, spent all day on my hair. And I remember him just like he was putting his hand near my hair. And, you know, and I remember he was just kind of he was just rough. Like he was, you know, very. And I remember thinking, I'm coiffed. I look nice. Just please give me my personal bubble. And this guy, he does this to children and their parents. I mean, honestly, shame on these kids' parents who just stand by and let him sniff their kids. That's when I would say, you know what? We don't need this picture that badly. Thank you, Mr. President. But
well, there's
we're
some
good.
There's some old video that came up from, you know, they do those mock swearing in for senators and representatives on C-SPAN. There's the video of the Jeff Sessions one where Jeff Sessions, I believe it was his granddaughter there, and Joe kind of leans over to put his hand on her, and Sessions just swats him away and grabs her and leaves.
That's what you should do, because this is too much of a pattern at this point. And we're supposed to believe that, oh, he's following COVID protocols. And meanwhile, he's up there touching people's. You're not even supposed to touch your own face as a COVID protocol. Remember that? Don't touch your face because it's really bad. It spreads germs. He's using his hand to touch other people's faces. I've said it before and I'll say it again. Dr. Houghton of Perfect Smiles is a superb architect. When it comes to dentistry, he is the best at what he does.
Dr. Houghton can touch your face. Nobody else.
He fixes your teeth, your smile, but what he really does is he builds the self-confidence of his patients. When you have a smile that you're proud of, it builds confidence in your professional life and in your personal life. The better you look, the better you feel. That has always been true, and it's especially true about your teeth and your smile. I go to Dr. Houghton of Perfect Smiles for my teeth cleanings, and he does a fabulous job. Howie has had his smile transformed by Dr. Houghton. If you want to check it out, go to PerfectSmiles.com and look at the video testimonials. They're conveniently located off of Route 3. They have plenty of parking. If you've been putting this off, but you've been kind of mulling it over, Don't put it off any longer. You deserve it. Make the change. Call Perfect Smiles or go to PerfectSmiles.com. They've got plenty of parking, like I said. Change your smile. Change your life. We'll be right back with your calls. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley. Who's better than Grace Curley?
Nobody. Nobody. Nobody.
This is The Grace Curley Show.
All right, we have a huge update. There's been, including on this show, a lot of skepticism of the story of a 10-year-old girl who left Ohio to have an abortion. She went to Indiana because she was raped and needed to have an abortion. And according to the story, she couldn't get one in Ohio. Now, what we said yesterday, and I'm happy we made this clarification, is that there's two situations. One is either the doctor who told this story did not report the rape, which is against the law. She could lose her license. Or two, the whole thing was made up. It turns out it was the first one. And a lot of Democrats or blue checks are trying to dunk on this now. Oh, see, the right-wing echo chamber was wrong. It is true. And Frank Luntz is one of those people. And he responded to Steve Miller because he said, any update on this story, Steve? Basically saying, oh, you doubted this story. And look it. They've made an arrest. There was an arrest made in the rape of an Ohio girl that led to Indiana abortion drawing international attention. And I think this sums it all up. Stephen Miller responded back to Frank Luntz and said, I do have an update. Based on new information, the abortion doctor isn't reporting underage abortions to authorities as directed by law. On top of that, the accused rapist is an undocumented immigrant in the country illegally. Please retweet. Thanks. It's the weirdest thing. He gave Frank an update and Frank didn't retweet it. I don't know why. And then he wrote to him again, Frank, please retweet my update that you wanted. This is the update. I have a feeling that part of the story is going to be left out. I don't know why. And every single piece that I read and things that I've read on the air from Red State, from other places, said there are two options here. The doctor isn't reporting underage rapes, or she made it up. Both of those things are bad, but just choose one. And it turns out it's the first one. So I will not be doing any sort of, oh, I was wrong. No, I'm happy that someone was charged, and I hope the media does just as much reporting on this. The full story with all the context. Walter, you're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Walter.
Hi, Grace. How are you today?
I'm good. What's going on?
Hey, Grace. One of the things I wanted to mention, if it's okay if I talk to you for a moment about the January 6th committee hearings.
Sure.
You know, I think that it appears as though these people who appear to be very loyal or have been very loyal to the president are beginning to jump ship. And it looks really bad for Donald Trump. But I think what could be spoken about, reading between the lines, is the possibility that maybe what these guys were telling him over and over and over again, that, gee, Mr. President, this swamp is just so deep and so wide, and it's just something that we just are having such a hard time overcoming. But that's the kind of thing that the January 6th committees do not want to be portrayed or not want to be spoken or not want to be aired to the public, because it implies that the corruption is so deep and that and ultimately it's the efforts of President Trump to try and get this swamp cleaned up. And it's just been very difficult for him. It's been difficult for him from the day he was inaugurated.
Yeah, and one thing I'd point out here, Walter, is that no matter what bombshell, and using air quotes around that, because how many bombshells have we seen over the last couple of years? Bombshell, if you look it up in the dictionary, the definition is nothing burger. No matter how many things they come up with, it's really a moot point because they don't have the opposing side available to make an argument. They don't have the opposition's take. And it's a show trial. That, for me, makes everything they're saying irrelevant. because it's one-sided. It's a one-sided kangaroo court. So I don't care what they tell me, what earth-shattering news, what unprecedented thing they tell me is going to be the end of Donald Trump and the end of democracy and this one's leaving and that one's jumping ship. I don't care. Because you're only showing me one half of the story, and therefore I don't have to believe anything you're saying. It's like the fruit of the poison tree. If you start off with such a fraud circus of a hearing, I'm not going to pay attention to it. We'll be right back. We'll take more of your calls. Thanks for the call, Walter. 844-500-4242. We'll be right back. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. Looking here at Fox News, they're playing the footage from the Uvalde school shooting. So many questions and strange things about that whole scenario. I mean, there's footage of a guy, one of the officers. He's using the hand sanitizer thing in the hallway while one of the other men is trying to get into the classroom and save his daughter, who did end up dying in the shooting. I just have to imagine that if you're a parent, especially if you're one of the parents who's lost their children in that horrible, horrible shooting, that this footage, these cowards in the hallway just makes you physically ill. It's very disturbing to see that, and it's strange to see these guys on their cell phones. And listen, I know people on social media and stuff, they trust me, they come up with every excuse in the book. He could have been sending a text message, you know, to his loved ones. He didn't know if he was gonna. This is not okay. And if you find yourself trying to bend yourself into a pretzel to defend these guys who had shields and, you know, weapons and helmets and stood out there for an hour while kids were being slaughtered, I don't know. That's on you. I can't do that. 844-500-4242. We will talk about that a little bit, but I want to read a little bit from this story from Dispatch. Arrest made in rape of Ohio girl that led to Indiana abortion drawing international attention. So this is the story that Biden talked about, that the Washington Post ran with it. A lot of different international outlets ran with immediately. And then it came into question. And there was actually a piece that I was going to read today from the Wall Street Journal, an abortion story too good to confirm, that was questioning the authenticity of this story and trying to verify some of the facts. And Ohio Attorney General Dave Yost told Fox News that he did not have any evidence to support this. Well, now we have updates. And so a lot of liberals on, you know, on these news outlets and other things, they're going to take victory laps for once not promoting a fake news story. But there's a problem. It doesn't fit their narrative exactly. And so I don't know how they'll play this one. Let's go through some of the details.
We do have an update from Jack Posobiec. They have matched the DNA in this case to the suspect.
So this is a true story.
Yes.
And there are a few things, though, that I don't think the media will be reporting on, but we'll report on it here for everyone. Columbus police were made aware of the girl's pregnancy through a referral by Franklin County Children's Services that was made by her mother on June 22nd. On June 30th, the girl underwent a medical abortion in Indianapolis. The man, the rapist, the alleged rapist, well, I guess now it's confirmed, Gershon Fuentes, he was in the country illegally. Now, these are all things I do not think you'll be hearing about today. Now, Detective Jeffrey Hun also testified that DNA from the clinic in Indianapolis is being tested. Jared just gave us the update on that. Franklin County Court Judge Cynthia Ebner said the case did not warrant Fuentes, who is believed to be undocumented, to be held without bond. The justice system at work. Okay. And I also wanted to read you, during Wednesday's hearing, Assistant Franklin County Prosecutor Dan Meyer requested Fuentes be held without bond. He said Fuentes is not believed to be in the country legally, and there are questions about his identity. Again, when you see this story on CNN, just keep your ears open for any of those minor details in this case. And also, I had mentioned this a little bit earlier, Uvalde. I do want to talk about this. 844-500-4242. Uvalde officer checks phone during Texas school shooting. There's also footage, as I mentioned, of another officer using hand sanitizer. Are you as perplexed as I am? I cannot put together, and I don't think anyone can, how they could stand there in the hallway hearing what they were hearing and just do nothing.
Yeah, I don't understand. Even if we give them the benefit of the doubt that they were following the stand down order, morally, I don't understand. As a person, I don't understand how you can just do nothing.
Yeah, it's beyond comprehension, and a lot of people were retweeting the video. I watched a little bit of it. It's definitely hard to watch. It's stomach turning, and I don't know. I can't fathom how angry these parents must be, and they deserve to know everything that happened. They deserve answers. It's a horrible story all around. 844-500-4242. Switching gears here to a story that popped up today on Fox News. We've been talking a lot about Joe Biden's decline, and it's becoming okay to say, you know, just like it's okay now to talk about Hunter's laptop, and it's okay to talk about the origins of the coronavirus, and it's okay to talk about how, you know, we're dealing with a Russia hoax. It is now okay to talk about the fact that Joe Biden is slipping just a little bit. You know, of course, he's been slipping for like 2 or 3 years, and that's me being very generous. It's probably longer, but we're only now acknowledging it. We put this under the category of things that can now be talked about. And there's a story about Ronny Jackson. For people who don't remember, he's now Representative Ronny Jackson, but he was the White House physician, and he worked with Obama. And Obama liked him. And then when Trump was going up against Biden, he started to make some comments about Joe Biden. He was in the news a little bit. And there's a story in Fox News. It says in 2020, when Jackson himself was running for Congress, the media's lack of attention to Biden's cognitive frailty bothered him greatly. He retweeted a video of Biden's latest cognitive misadventure with the message, "Remember the cognitive test that I gave Donald Trump? The one he aced. Sounds like somebody else might need some testing done. Scary." I don't think he's out of line in saying that. I think that was something that most people, you don't even have to be a doctor. You could just be a regular Joe and look at that and say, something's not right here. Well, 20 minutes after that tweet, he gets an email, a scathing email from Barack Obama. And this is what Barack had to say. A little Andrew Cuomo-esque, you know, it's a little, I find this to be a little bit intimidating. He says, "I have made a point of not commenting on your service in my successor's administration and have always spoken highly of you both in public and private." He made a point of not commenting on the fact that Ronnie was working in Donald Trump's administration. That's so big of him,
isn't
it? Doing
you a favor, Ronnie boy.
Yeah, be grateful. What do you lack the enzyme to appreciate how wonderful Obama is? How sophisticated Obama is? You ungrateful SOB. "You always served me and my family well, and I have considered you not only a fine doctor and service member, but also a friend." You can feel this is about to turn, you know? "That's why I have to express my disappointment at the cheap shot you took at Joe Biden via Twitter." Is this Barack Obama or Charlie Baker writing this email? He's disappointed in Ronnie. There's nothing worse than having Barack Obama disappointed in you. It's one thing if he's mad at you, but it's worse when he's disappointed in you. "It was unprofessional and beneath the office that you once held. It was also disrespectful to me and the many friends you had in our administration. You were the personal physician to the President of the United States as well as an admiral in the U.S. Navy. I expect better, and I hope upon reflection that you will expect more of yourself in the future.
Wow. Thanks, Mom.
Yikes! The arrogance. Sometimes you forget how arrogant Barack Obama is, and then you read this email, and you're like, all right, sure, Jan, lose my number. If I were Ronnie Jackson, I would write back, Dear Barack, Dear President Obama, thank you so much for the email. I understand how you feel, and I respect your opinion. However, I would like to offer you a piece of advice. Don't underestimate Joe's ability to bleep things up. Am I right? Wink, wink. Signed, Dr. Ron. It's just the last line. I expect better, and I hope upon reflection that you will expect more of yourself in the future. Kick rocks. Like, what do you? Who do you think you are? His father? You're writing him this like scathing email because what? He said something truthful? Which is not allowed if you're friends with Obama. You all have to be partaking in this big lie that Joe Biden has any idea what's going on. And furthermore, if anyone knew how bad Joe Biden was, it was Barack. He told him he didn't have to run for president. He told people don't underestimate Joe's ability to bleep things up. We often hear lately that real estate can literally sell itself right now. This thought has been very true for many properties in this frenzied economy. However, as inflation skyrockets and interest rates rise, the demand for properties may quickly lessen. Before that happens, what can you do as a property owner to be sure you maintain strong competition and interest for your real estate? You can have an auction for over 45 years and in every type of economy. JJ Manning consistently creates a competitive environment, strong bidding, no contingencies, and cash buyers who aren't waiting for lower interest rates. Auctions do not mean distress. They actually mean competition. JJ Manning auctioneers can show you what strong marketing and a competitive forum will do for your real estate. To learn more on how to get your residential, commercial, or land property sold quickly, contact Charlie Gill at 800-521-0111. That's 800-521-0111, or go to jjmanning.com and get your property sold. We'll be right back with Steve Anzoni to give us an update on this crazy inflation, hotter than expected. Don't go anywhere. This is the Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to the Grace Curley Show. She's got the voice of an angel.
I've been called the songbird of my generation, of people who've heard me.
It's Grace Curley.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. I am so excited to have Steve Anzoni with us. Steve, every time you're on, it seems to be perfect timing because today we have a new report about inflation, 9.1%. Give us your reaction to that news.
Frightening. I don't know about good time. I guess it's a good time if you're in my world to try to educate people, but that's a frightening number. I believe that's the highest since 1981. And yeah, I was not overly surprised, Grace, to hear that number. I kind of figured it would. I mean,
you expected it, Steve? Everyone else says it's unexpected.
No, I don't know why they're saying that. I don't get it. I mean, I knew it was going to be up there high. I figured high eights, but yeah, 9.1. All right, so maybe slightly higher than I thought. But, you know, the problem is that, you know, the NASDAQ futures have been off, Dow's off. I mean, everything's off. And, you know, people are a little nervous out there right now because there's that three-legged stool that we rely on for our financial information, the 10-year Treasury, which is at about 3, the 30-year mortgage, which is at about 5.75 average, but the bank money market rate's a 0.5. So there's the challenge, Grace. People are trying to find safe money, and the problem is it's 0.5 versus 3% Treasury. The banks are having a field day right now. They're cleaning up.
Steve, that's not the only problem. A lot of people, and I know you deal with this a lot with your clients, a lot of people wanted to retire, and now because of you know, all of the things you just listed, that's becoming increasingly more difficult. What are you telling clients who are looking forward to kind of putting their feet up right now and they're going back to work?
That is a difficult situation because if people are already in their 60s or, you know, I want to retire within, you know, 6 months to a year or two, you know, I hate to have to tell them this, but the truth is that they may not be able to retire for another year or two or three. I mean, that's just the bottom line. But the good news is if you're, you know, in your mid-50s or if you got maybe 3 to 5 years to go, there is so much opportunity right now to plan. I mean, in all the 30 years I've been in business, I've never seen a more amazing opportunity to reestablish your retirement account, to try to make it as tax efficient and tax free as possible, and to do it for pennies on the dollar, Grace. I mean, that's the amazing opportunity that I see for the next 3 or 4 years. And I say that because the current tax bracket environment will sunset on 12/31/25. And if you don't jump on this opportunity now, you might miss it forever.
And if anyone is out there listening and they're thinking to themselves, how can I get in contact with Steve Anzoni? You can always go to fairwayfinancial.net and talk to him. Now, Steve, when we discuss inflation, you know, a lot of times food is brought up, the price of gas is brought up, and other things. But is there anything that people don't really think about and that actually ends up hurting them a lot when you're dealing with 9.1% inflation? Like, what's a sneaky side effect of this?
Well, it's not really sneaky anymore because of the outrageous numbers that have gone up. But I was just talking about this on my other radio show last week. When bank rates were flat and inflation was flat, no one really cared. It was a trade-off. But the hard part now is people are really starting to look at their bank accounts and going, wait a minute. If everything's 8 and 9% and my banks are only 0.5, this is a problem. And what I see is people are trying to run to quote-unquote safe money, but some of the monies they're running to, like bonds, aren't as safe as people think. And they're chasing the high yield, but when interest rates go up, bonds can actually be more volatile than stocks. So my thing to my clients is be you know, wary about what's going on. Try to find principal-protected products that can give you upside with no downside risk, and try to find something that can also guarantee you an income for life as well.
Now, Steve, I do have to ask you about the president's response to this report, because he came out today with a statement where he described these numbers as out of date because they do not take into account the 40-cent decrease in gas prices. And so therefore, it seems like he's kind of writing off this entire number as bunk because it doesn't brag enough about his 40-cent decrease in gas prices. What's your response to that claim that these numbers are out of date?
I didn't hear that. So let me just see if I get this right, Grace. So he's saying that because gas went down from an average of, say, 490 to 450, that people aren't taking into account the fact that gas is still up almost 90% since a year ago? So
yes.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but 90% is certainly a lot higher than 9. So, no, I didn't hear that response, but I guess I'm not surprised by that. But clearly, I don't think anybody out there is buying that as for what's going on. That's just insane.
You know, Steve, one thing I wanted to ask you is, I'm sure you have a lot of, you know, not only coworkers, but friends who are in the same business as you who have been doing this for a long time. And there's a report in the Wall Street Journal about how all of these economic advisors surrounding Biden, they don't really have much experience actually in business or, you know, working in the private sector. Do you talk to friends of yours who have also been doing this for decades? And does everyone just kind of say, what's going on? Like, are they amazed at how all these Ivy Leaguers are in there with no common sense about how the economy works?
You just hit the nail on the head. Everyone has these degrees, but no one has any experience. And, you know, that is a scary part. These kids are coming out, and they're brilliant, don't get me wrong, but these, you know, economists, these new economists, just haven't lived through it and haven't been there. And nothing can beat experience. So, yes, I have a lot of friends who have been in the business for 20 and 30 years. And all of them, to a T, are basically feel the same way that I do, that, look, we're going to have a bumpy ride. These things do go along. But my goodness, the least you can do is go out there and have some honesty and disclosure when it comes to the public and say, look, we realize that something's going on and we are going to work diligently towards fixing it. I mean, the last administration that was in there, all they did was solve problems, literally.
And all this administration does is create problems. Steve, if people want to reach you, they can go to fairwayfinancial.net. Thank you so much for coming on the program.
You're very welcome.
All right, everyone. We'll be right back with more. This is The Grace Curley Show.